people being up there.
Yep.
Late after the game. Never want to have a podcast end halfway through because they're getting kicked out of the press box. So we're not going to do that. First impressions podcast, just starting out, I think.
We got to say the score first because it's incredible.
54 to 19. Well, yeah, that's kind of where I was going with it. It was just 54 to 19 for the final score. The remarkable part about it isn't that it was a blowout, because I think a lot of us expected a blowout from the Cowboys. It's a bad matchup for them for the beginning. But it was how the score happened. It was still 21 to 19 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Is that correct?
Yep.
I didn't dream that.
I think
it was 21 to 19.
Yes.
Yeah, it was 21 to 19 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And then the Colts do what the Colts have honestly done all season, and they cough the ball up in rapid succession. I believe four consecutive turnovers went fumble, interception, interception, fumble, and the next thing you know, the game was over. Just a remarkable turn of events, a remarkable way for a game to go bad on you. We're gonna get into the categories in a little bit, but just wanted to start off with Nate with your just first blush, first initial reaction. We're kind of – this might be the hardest thing I'm asking you all day because it's getting hard to talk about this team.
It is. You know, and for this game, like, on some levels it was absolutely predictable as far as them getting blown out and them turning the ball over and getting overwhelmed in the moment against a team that has a lot better players and guys like Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence who can feast on a team that has just given the ball away. The thing that was different today, which is the story I ended up writing, is that the dam broke on the defense. They've never folded like that until today. And I don't think it's coincidental. I don't – like, yes, obviously the Cowboys have a very talented offense. They're rolling. They can score 40 on teams. But this was a total human reaction today. This was a team that they were down 21-19 when they thought they got an interception from Isaiah Rodgers, senior. And it was like the moment where, like, they're trying to get their offense back into it. Well, the offense had a decent game at that point, but they're trying to do what they can to keep this going before Dallas takes over. And they have that play, and then all of a sudden, not only does it get ruled not an interception, but there's a personal foul on Zaire Franklin that he thought was questionable. But what ends up happening is, and then Dallas just marches down, scores, and they're down two scores, and that's when it totally unraveled. Because what happens is when this team goes down two scores, the offense gets in predictable passing situations, which they can't pass protect, and their quarterback can't move around, and he doesn't have a great arm, and it's just terrible to be in that situation. And then the defense knows, they just, like, these guys are human, and they just know this team is not coming back from down two scores. They're just not. The only times they've won this year is when they've held it close enough, and they're down within, like, less than seven on the final drive. And then there's a way that Matt Ryan's leadership and all that shows up. But it's such a perfect formula they have to chase. And when they realize that that was gone within this game, and then within the season, a loss would drop them to 4-8-1. And that, when you hit that eighth loss, when you can no longer have a winning record, I feel like is that psychologically that feels like the end of the season. So today I think they felt like this is unraveling. They started to press. A talented team just exposed them in the moment. And this was a total sort of bottoming out of a what's really a very solid defense, but they're human and they're frustrated, and they paid the price for an offense that continues to mess it up every single week.
Let's get into the categories. It's a loss, their third loss in a row, and their sixth in the last seven. We'll start with villain of the game. There's two pretty obvious ones here. I'm going to see where you go first before I make mine.
I'll go with Matt Ryan today. So I've been I've been nice to Matt Ryan kind of all year because I do think he's gotten a raw deal with this. But at the same time, it's fair to acknowledge, like, he looks shot out there. His arm looks shot. I just think if he – that's where he is at this point after he, you know, he's 37 years old. He came in this season. He was never really an electric arm before this year. He certainly wasn't early in the year, but it was, I felt like it was capable. But ever since that separated shoulder, I feel like any arm strength has kind of gone out the window. So he had the one throw to Alec Pierce. It was like, you know, a 40-yard gain, 45-yard gain, I think it was. That was sort of like a dialed-up shot, step into it, throw early in the down. That's as best as he can get, though. And right now what's happening is that if he – it has to be dialed up and perfect like that, or otherwise, like, if he is standing up straight or, God forbid, stepping backwards, it's a duck. It sails on him. Like, almost all the picks, the bad plays were these sailed throws of sort of desperate. He's throwing late, and part of that's like – I mean, he's kind of throwing late a lot this year because – he's been surprised by pressure, or what I think's happening lately is that, like, they don't he's a smart player. He knows his arm's not there anymore. He can't take as many of the progressions as he wants to take. So he ends up waiting for something to open underneath that's not open, and then he forces it late. That was the pick to Colin Granson, I felt like. So I just thought, like, Matt Ryan, like, he did not get what he asked for here, but at the same time, the only way that this would possibly work is to have an incredible team around him, because at this moment, after the separated shoulder, his arm's shot, he can't move, you know, and it's just so limited to the point where it's hard to see them having a great offense with a quarterback who is as limited as he is right now.
Real quick before I get to my villain, I just thought that, like, I hadn't watched Matt Ryan on a week-in, week-out basis a lot. I covered it several games of his when I covered the Saints, obviously. But just the lack of anticipation on his throws, it kind of puts him a level below Phillip Rivers in my mind, who was kind of the guy that everyone compared. Like, Rivers' arm was probably worse than Ryan's, if we're being honest. But he would throw with such anticipation, especially on those out routes. You know, like the pick Ryan threw to Granson today – it was the placement wasn't there because it was a little bit too far inside, but it also came out late and gave the defensive back an even better chance to pick it off. And I felt that early in the season. I felt that today. He's just been kind of late. My villain is the other obvious one, Jeff Saturday. Not throwing the challenge. I don't know if the Colts get that overturned. I think you have to throw it there on the Isaiah Rodgers pick. You just have to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what if they decide it gets overturned? It's such a huge play in the game. We saw how huge it ended up being. That seemed like the chance the Colts had to take maybe a little bit of – well, their second chance to take control of the game, because the first one they botched when Ryan's pass sailed a bit and bounced off the hands of Alec Pierce for a pick at the end of the first half. But the other thing – there's other stuff with Saturday too. I mean, you know – they're running the ball on first down, like almost every first down right now. Their run over expectation has gone way up since he took over.
And it's the same run play all the time. It's always between the tackles.
And
like, they were in one reverse to Paris Campbell, but like very little trickeration.
And, well, as I've been told many times, anything that's not a straight ahead run is cute and therefore bad.
Mm.
So I think some people are okay with that.
True.
I'm not.
I guess the Cowboys were cute. I'm being very sarcastic right now. I guess the Cowboys were cute and bad today because they did a lot of misdirection and they ran for 220 yards.
But yeah, they're running the ball. They're predictable with the way they do it on first down. And you saw even on the 15 play 90 yard drive, Taylor had a 19 yard run to start it, and then he had five carries for 0 yards the rest of the way, including two big losses that they had to make up for. The Cowboys. They're a bad run defense, but it's easy when they know it's coming, and they kind of know it's coming. I think that's a Saturday thing. I mean, I know Parks Frazier is a first-time play caller, but we all kind of knew Jeff Saturday was going to run the ball when he got here, and the way they're doing it right now is, like, people scoff at the tendency stuff and, like, knowing what the tendencies are and trying to break them. There's been this vein going through the fan base and local media that, like, you should just be able to do what you do, and it doesn't matter what the defense does. That's a high school thing. I'm sorry. That's literally what the week of preparation is in the NFL, is figuring out how to attack your opponent and then making it so that they can't know what you're doing. And the way they're playing right now, it's simplified and it's easy to see. And so that's my villain. I will go to the hard one now, the hero category. This is a tough one today. Hero's a tough one.
I'm going to go with Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore had a pick that set the Colts up in great position. They got the ball at the 19-yard line, and then they kicked a field goal from the 16-yard line. And that's just it's kind of what they are at this point. Like, you give them an opportunity to go 19 yards, and they can't do it. In other moments, like, every time the Cowboys got a turnover, it was a touchdown. It was, like, automatic. And the defense thought about that. It's hard to be on short fields, and it is. But somehow the Colts never make it hard on the opponent to be on a short field, or very rarely does it feel that way. And Stephon Gilmore, to me, I just think he's been everything they asked for. We talk about not bringing your end of the bargain. They didn't bring their end of the bargain. He didn't come here for a team that was going to score 16 points a game, and be what they are. Like, he's the only guy really producing turnovers. He's the reason they've sealed wins against the Chiefs and the Broncos. And I also just want to give, I know this doesn't mean a ton to fans who are all about the performance, but the jobs we're in, I like those guys who are classy and professional all the time. They're themselves all the time. And Stephon Gilmore's one of those. Every time I talk to him, he's maybe not the flashiest guy. You know, when they win, they have a big moment. He's not kind of out there. But, like, he is so consistent. Like, when they lose, he steps up and he faces the music. He took so much blame for the one play that he really messed up, which was the Terry McLaurin catch that set up the Commanders game-winning touchdown. Like, he doesn't feel bitter at all. He's not been changed at all by this. And I just think, like, they got exactly what they wanted out of him, which is a Pro Bowl level cornerback, number one cornerback, go up and make the plays at the clutch moments, create the turnovers you need to have. And just every other level this team has failed. And today was another example of that. I thought he was phenomenal today, and yet you barely notice it because of everything else that happened.
In a tough day, and I know he had the pick go off his hands and probably wanted it back, I'm going to go Alec Pierce. The touchdown was a thing of beauty. You know, wrestling it away from Kelvin Joseph. He had the 45-yard catch. It was the first time that they'd gotten a look where the safety wasn't right over the top of him. And when he's had those looks, he's often made teams pay this season. He's probably hurt the most of anybody on the team by their just unwillingness to push the ball down the field. And not just on the deep ball, but like the 20-yard crosser and stuff like that is stuff that they wanted to do with him and did in training camp, and they just haven't run any of that stuff lately. Not a perfect day from him, but with a rookie receiver, it's just good. I think it's good if you're a Colts fan to be reminded that there's something there with Alec Pierce. There's something that can be mined there, and so that's my hero. We'll go unsung hero.
And I'd just say with Alec Pierce, good bounce back for him too, because I literally talked to him on Thursday about kind of his first real rough stretch. I mean, he started a couple games were quiet, but the past month he's had three catches, a couple of zero catch games, and he just said, like, what he's had to learn is that some games you produce a lot, but, like, maybe you didn't play that most complete game, and some other games, you know, you don't have catches, but you did everything else right and the ball didn't come your way. And Reggie Wayne was very, like, forthright this week about, like, Alec Pierce is playing well. Our offense is failing him, and we have to get him the ball. And I thought today was a course correction. So one thing I give the Colts coaching staff a lot of credit for, today they made a pointed effort, like, we're getting the ball to Alec Pierce, and he mostly delivered.
The other thing is, and he said this after the game, I'll probably write about it a little bit later in the week, but he just said, like, he felt after, you know, Denver in a couple of those games, the second Jacksonville game, he's felt teams have been much more aware of where he is with the safeties and having somebody over the top, which we've seen. Mm-hmm. So it's moving through the categories. Unsung hero will stay on the good side. I'm gonna go Kwity Paye here, and it's really off of just one sack and the way he played in the first half, but it's we're at this point now with the Colts where you're just looking for are there young guys that they can build around? And if Quiddy Pay can stay healthy, he looks like a young guy that you can build around. He's a young guy that might be something for this team in the future. And, you know, I think the consistent production from him, both in the run game and the pass game, that's a piece you can use. So that's my unsung hero.
Yeah, that's a tough one in a game like this. I'm going to go with I don't know. I guess I'm going to go with Chase McLaughlin because
– okay.
Like, this is more of a season-long
thing. There's
a case.
Yeah, there's a case.
But he's been money from, like, over 50 yards.
Seven out of 10.
Seven out of 10, which is seven kicks over 50 yards is a lot. And, like, this team, if you look at how this team scores, it's a lot of long field goals. Like, some games they would have no scoring if they didn't hit a long field goal.
Yeah, I think he's attempted eight from between 40 and 49, too.
Yeah, and, like, you see their scoring on the year. They're averaging 16 points. Like, he is a huge part of their scoring. And, like, it doesn't end up like – it hasn't been, like, these clutch kicks. It's not, like, in these great performances. So it's kind of been overlooked as, like, well, whatever, they got a field goal. But, like, he's the reason – like, he gives this defense a little bit of life is when they can even get a field goal drive. That feels like a good outcome for this team right now is they get a field goal drive. And a lot of these are ending – 50-some yard kicks, and he did another one tonight. I think it was 52 yards, which, you know, gave him a chance to. They went up 10-7 at one point in this game, and that's like that ends up keeping them in a game where they're up, you know, they're down 21-19 entering the fourth quarter. Like, he's held them in a lot of games. Again, it's just another player where he's just supposed to be a complimentary piece. So the offense hasn't been there, but I think he's been everything they could hope for. After the disarray of week one of, you know, firing Rodrigo Blankenship and not having a kicker. That's back when we thought that was the problem with this team. So they solved that for the most part. And it's just everything else has made us kind of forget that for a little bit.
Unsung villain. This is an easy one for me. Jonathan Taylor. Felt like it's never easy to know exactly whose job it is. Like, it's never exactly easy to know exactly, like, whether or not the protection call was set wrong or something. We don't know that. But it sure looked like the first two sacks in the first half were on Taylor. And I think the ferocity of those and how quickly they happened kind of led to the unraveling of Matt Ryan. So Jonathan Taylor's a pretty easy one. His rushing numbers are going to look fine at the end of the year. But, yeah, it's been a season for him where the details have been rough. The fumbles, pass protection. Early in the season when he was frustrated with the offensive line and kind of missing holes. It's like I said, his rushing numbers are going to end up looking okay, but the overall picture hasn't been great.
Yeah, Taylor's a good pick for that. The details have just been so lacking for him, which is shocking because, you know, we just thought he was so dialed in, but it shows you how the easy comes hard this year for him. I'm going to go with Mo'Ali Cox because – he doesn't get a lot of opportunities in the passing game anymore. They've sort of transitioned him to more of like a sixth lineman because that's how badly they need blocking. And he's got a tough job in that respect. But, you know, when you only get a few targets a game, you've got to be respect or be counted on, you know, be consistent. And he to catch that screen and to fumble, I mean, they probably don't come back anyway. But that was just like – that was the snowball just took over. And it's one thing to, you know, it's one thing for the defense to give up a score off of a turnover when Dallas only has to go 20 yards at home in a dome. But, like, you can't be fumbling on a first down catch like that. So, to me, Mo'Ali Cox just kind of showcased where this team is at, which is the depth pieces that they've banked on this year have just not really delivered.
Number of the day. This might be a little, I've got one in my head, so I'm gonna use it because this is the hardest one probably with us in a dark car. 33. It's just such a simple number, but it's so odd. Like the Cowboys scored 33 points. They went 33-0, 33-0 to end this game 54-19. It's just a spectacular number of points in, like, I think columnist Greg Doyle said 13 minutes of game time. Unreal.
Yeah, that's incredible. And my number is simplistic because we're in a dark car. But it's related. That's five, which is the number of turnovers the Colts had. Five turnovers. And what's amazing is we were actually sure it was more. Remember, like, you
well, were there asking. there were a lot of fumbles that got, you know, like Pierce had a fumble that his knee was down. There was another one earlier in the game that I just can't remember right now. Like, there were other times that we were like, oh, they turned it over and they didn't actually turn
it over. Or there was a moment where it was a turnover with Matt Ryan, but they said the defender was down. So it just added like two, like an extra minute until the Cowboys scored. Like, it just was like a turnover was inevitable tonight. And that's just the story of their season. And like, look, sometimes you, like, turnovers aren't always like the end all. Like, if you turn it over because you're trying to come back when you're down, I mean, I'd go down that way too. But the problem is that, like, the Colts are, like, this is just who they are. And what's amazing to me is they have implemented this offense with Jeff Saturday and Parks Frazier that is simplistic and built around minimizing risk and minimizing hits on the quarterback and the risk for turnovers. And they come out tonight on the road in a dome, and they have five turnovers, which goes to show you, like, turnovers are as much about the situations you're in as anything else, which is when your team goes down multiple scores and you're pressing and you have to throw and you have to draw back, and the defense knows that, and you're not built for that at all. It's all personnel failures, like, again and again and again. What happens is your identity is turnovers, and that's been them all season long, and it bit them again today.
Three football things that brought me joy. Number one football thing that brought me joy, Dallas Flowers returning kicks is fun. It's just fun. Like, he just runs with such an abandon, and he's very clearly, like, looking at every kick return as a chance to take it back to the house. It's just, it's great. Really, really like it. I'm sure at some point it's going to get him in trouble, and I'm going to look dumb for saying this, but it's just fun right now. Number two thing that I wrote down that gave me joy, Stephon Gilmore's pick. Mm-hmm. If you watch it from behind, he's got this little forearm in the receiver's hip, and there's no way you could see it to call it because of where his arm is. And basically, like, he ran the route for him, so he was in position, and the receiver just ran into him and fell down. But he gave him just a little bit of an arm shiver, and that helped him fall down. So that was the second one. It was just like veteran savvy on display. And then the third football play that brought me joy, and it really is tough a little bit in this game, but I don't always love the 50-50 jump ball fade in the red zone because it's a low percentage play typically, but when it gets completed the way it got completed to Pierce, it really is a thing of beauty, and you understand, like, why people chase it so much.
Everything involved with the Colts, it's not there. Writers feel that, players feel that, coaches feel that. It's just, like, unfortunately, it's a lost year. They're 4-8-1, and, like, that's where Matt Ryan is on certain plays. Like, let's just survive to play another down. Like, we're just surviving to kind of move on and survive and thrive and be our best selves at some other point when the scenarios are better. So those are not enjoyable plays to watch on a screen. But to me, I empathize with them for a little bit.
I'm calling a penalty on Nate for saying be our best selves. I hate that phrase. It's a terrible phrase. So that's a penalty. Boo. I get to do this because I'm hosting the podcast. Okay, so that brings us to the last four. We're going to try to burn through these pretty quick. I'm sure you guys don't want to spend too much time in that game. Too much blame and too little blame. We'll go with too little blame first, or too much blame first. Did anybody get too much blame in this game? I think that sometimes with these games we can pass on some of the categories. We can just say there's a punch.
I guess I'll just – this is going to come off weird, but I'm going to say the defense only because –
ooh, controversial.
Only because, to me, I just think it's a human reaction. Honestly, I like – someone said it to me years ago in this field, and it stuck with me forever. They was like, every single human has a breaking point. And no matter how stoic they seem, they have a breaking point. you as a rider do, you as a fan do, you as a, you know, anyone who is a coach or a player. And to me, I think we saw the defense's breaking point. They weren't great to start the game. Don't get me wrong. They gave up touchdown drives. But it was a 21-19 game heading into the fourth quarter. They were in this touchdown or bust kind of mode. They thought they got a turnover. When they noticed the season was unraveling, they unraveled. And, like, it again, you'd like them to play better in those moments. Would it have mattered? I mean, they would have lost 32-19 or something. Like, that's where they're at this point. It didn't matter to them, the margin in that moment, because that moment of going from to 4-8-1 was sort of like the season ending. And I just think they're going to get a lot of blame because, obviously, 54 points is terrible. But and it was a bad game for them. But at the same time, I think you got to recognize the toll that this whole season has taken on them representing this offense and this team, and they're human and they broke.
I'll just throw in Rodney McLeod here. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb rolled over him. I don't really know in the moment if that's something that McLeod can feel, that he rolled over him. You know, he made the tackle. Because you're also worried there about getting, especially the way the league is officiated now, you're worried there about getting a late hit penalty. I think if there was somebody who should have taken a shot, it was probably Bobby Okereke when he got up. McLeod obviously gave up another play on a move that Lamb made, but he had a couple other plays that were in the backfield. I think everything kind of went to heck there, and the defense didn't play very well overall. But McLeod, I think maybe if I was going to stretch for too much blame, that's where I'd go. Too little blame. Too little blame is tough in a game like this.
Well, I'll go while you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of doubling up on something else you said, but I'm going to go with Jeff Saturday because try to be careful here because I've never wanted to crush Jeff Saturday because I do think he was thrown in a position he's never been prepared for, and he's admitted that. At the same time, he accepted the job, so we have to judge him in the role that he chose to take. And I think there's a temptation right now to say, well, this roster's bad, like it's not a fault of the coaches. You can only say that if you also said that about the coach they had before this, okay? So if you've said that all year long, then I respect it, then you're right. But the problem is that the noise on Frank Reich was so loud and so deafening and so adamant that was the fix, that was the problem with this team, that I hope that people are realizing the problems with this team are above the coach, and the one they hired is by all means he's a wonderful Colts legend in the Ring of Honor, and he's doing his best, and he's brought some things to them. He has been a good leader, and he's working with the offensive line. But at the same time, like, everyone's got their strengths and weaknesses, and I just think Jeff has shown some weaknesses that are really just lack of experience. It's natural. It's not like a huge flaw, but it or like a huge detriment of him. But the fact of the matter is, he's not dialed in on challenges and timeouts and analytics and managing the offense and throwing in the right situations, and it's catching up to him right now in a way that, like, They can't afford much because they're a bad team and they're trying to win on the margins and they're not doing it right now. So I think, like, it's very easy to step back and be like, well, Jeff Saturday took over a team that was always bad. Again, to me, that's only fair if you ever recognize that Frank Reich was in a tough position too. But it rarely goes that way. So I think too little blame Jeff Saturday in some ways.
Too little blame for me goes to the Colts defensive line. The Cowboys don't give up sacks. They just don't. They've given up 15 now on the season, which is probably by the end of the day something like 4 or 6 or something like that, better than any other team. But you still need more out of the Colts defensive line. Dak Prescott had a lot of time. If it was a bad day for the defense, but you need more out of the defensive line. I don't think I need to go into that one any further. The last two categories, one that might be a mirage, takeaway that might be a mirage.
That one's tough.
It really is tough because it felt like
it doesn't feel like a mirage.
It felt like this was like the manifestation of all the things that are bad with the Colts this year. I'll go with one that might be a mirage, and this is a tough one. I think Chase McLaughlin has earned the right to be back next year and competing. I don't know if he's going to be the long-term kicker for this team yet, and we just don't know. That's why it says one that might be a mirage, like it might not be. The consistency from distance continues. But he is around 82 or 83% or something like that for the overall season. That's a little below where you need to be. He hasn't been there. I really like what he's done from distance. I really like basically everything he's done as a kicker. I mean, he's for what he was asked to do, he's done a very, very good job. I'm just saying that from a long-term perspective, like in the offseason, in the draft, if someone's available in free agency, I don't know that you go, we're set.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's a week one that might be a mirage, but there was a lot of stuff that I felt like today was stuff to bank on. So that's the one I'd go with.
Yeah. I think I'd probably double back on a little bit of what I said about the defense, which is the big plays from the defense I thought were a mirage. So last week, this is where it's nitpicky because it feels like you're talking about outside of both sides of your mouth. Because last week I talked about how I did think there was regression coming from the defense, which is they're human. They'd face a toll. They'd sag a little bit. Today was sort of the bottoming out of that. I do think, though, that today was rock bottom for them. Today was recognizing, like, this is our last moment to get a win before the season feels over. And that's where the big plays came, was really late. I mean, those are the real big plays. Like, they played pretty well for a lot of that game, at least a lot of drives they played well. They just fell apart late. I just think, like, they'll sag a little bit because, again, like, they don't have a lot to play for. But at the same time, today the big plays, the moments that came in, I think they were a direct result of the frustration of not getting a turnover from Isaiah Rodgers and the turnovers they were having to deal with from their own offense and a season bottoming out officially to them. I really got the sense of the locker room this was – where they were at with this season, and they're still a good defense. They're just like
they're not elite.
That's very clear. They're not elite, but they're still a good defense. I think they'll be a good defense the rest of the way, but again, with the rest, like, as the season's gone, what will that ultimately mean? Will it mean one win? Maybe. But they're not going to just get gashed like this the rest of the season. So this was a mirage in a moment on the road against a talented offense and a bottoming out moment at the moment where they felt like their season was over.
One to bank on. This is where we'll end the podcast. These are really obvious. Matt Ryan's not going to get any better. The previous three starts, he'd been at the very least less disaster prone. All the disasters piled up in an avalanche today. He just looks to me like a guy who is so afraid in the pocket and doesn't know what he's doing, or he's so afraid of getting hit that he can't play around the rest of it. This is who he's going to be even after the bye week. So that's my one to bank on. It's not going to get better with Matt Ryan. You might get something close to what we saw the last 3 weeks if he continues to start. And Jeff Saturday was kind of weird about that. He didn't really answer our questions about that. I also think I'm going to give you a double one to bank on. If they change the quarterback, I don't think it's going to matter much.
Well, that's where I was going to go a little bit.
You can do that. You can do that.
Like, this offense is predictable and simplistic and unexplosive and unthreatening. And that will be true with whoever starts quarterback. So I think there's a world where you can, in this moment, say maybe Nick Foles is the better option, where he has more lively arm.
He
is more aggressive down the field.
We saw that in camp.
I just have a hard time seeing any quarterback fix what's really going on here, which is, at the end of the day, you have an offensive line that, at best, even under Jeff Saturday, at best is below average. And you have a scheme, though, that is – they've schemed everything to negate any and all risk and be simplistic. There's so little motion in their offense. There's very little play action in their offense. There's very few runs that are not just Jonathan Taylor taking the ball up the middle. So it just, I have a hard time seeing any scheme or personnel elevate the quarterback. And if that's the case, then I don't think that putting in a backup quarterback is going to change it. Because if you think about Nick Foles, when he has thrived, it was when he stepped in for an Eagles team that had an amazing roster. And then, even though people don't maybe love to hear it on this podcast, a great coaching staff at that time, which was Doug Peterson and Frank Reich, and the trust and the understanding they had with that quarterback. I mean, right now, like, you just have to be real. Jeff Saturday stepped in the middle of the season and took over and is trying to be a head coach and trying to manage a bazillion things he's never managed before. He is not going to be a guy who elevates the passing game. That's just not – that's not what he's about. That's not what he's prepared for. That's not what he's here for. So everything in the passing game is about what can you produce on your own, pretty much. And it's not been good so far, and I just don't think changing the quarterback is going to really make that big of a difference.
That's it for the Colts Cover 2 First Impressions podcast. I'm Joel A. Erickson. We're joined by Nate Atkins. You can look up our stories on IndyStar.com. We'll have a few more this week, but for the most part – unless big news breaks that we're not prepared for in the morning or sometime tomorrow afternoon, enjoy the bye week. The Colts are depressing. Do something that makes you excited. Watch some Christmas movies. Go check something out. Spend time with whatever your other favorite team is. Like I said, enjoy the bye week. We all deserve it. It took us a long time to get here. We all deserve a little break.